Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, poured up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Good to have you with us tonight. We are, as you can see, sitting in the studio. We just had a North Dakota storm come sailing through. So, our normal place. Sitting at the picnic table, probably not going to be the right option for tonight. Seeing how we have electronic equipment and all the other stuff like that. Not that that's not where we want to be, because it is. May God show us the process we get to use.
Amen.
So that we can function outside, even in inclement weather. Because there is an interesting factor about computerized equipment.
It doesn't like wet.
If it was not designed for wet, wet causes you to have a very large, for those of us that believe in the exceeding abundantly above all, a very large faith project is no big deal. We know that He is doing exceeding abundantly above all. However, it does cause you to spend a few days where you say, what am I going to do now? Until, of course, the wonderful Amazon or whoever can get it shipped to the door. So here we are, sitting here at the desk. All the crazy places to be stuck to. Well, thank you for your prayers. We did get a little bit of rain, but it wasn't the right kind. And I'm not going to stop until we get the rain. And that is gentle, soaking, healing rain.
It was soaking.
But it doesn't have to have hail. And you know, Sister Phyllis was talking this afternoon about how much water has come down there. One of the things that you and I have got to do, and we're learning the process, and we'll talk about some more tonight, is to charge our enemy guilty when he comes through trying to destroy. If you're getting a flood, then you start attacking that enemy and demanding that there be seven times and double for the shame of any destruction he's trying to bring. Because we don't have to put up with the enemy destruction. Just too many times believers just do put up the enemy's destruction. Dan Cottle, Roger Oxy, good to have you guys with us tonight. You know, we'll probably have an abbreviated message tonight. We'll get right to it because I do want to go look for Phil, right? See if I can find him, find out where he's at. Hopefully, you're like us and was praying all day so that tonight when we saw him, all of that would be bound.
Amen.
We've been on the abundance of the Lord, the blessing of God all day long. And so and even more than the rain is the lightning.
Yeah, and the hail.
When you sit upon underneath a steel roof on a steel picnic table. I'm not sure whether that's operating in faith or presumption. Especially when you have tall pine trees standing all around you.
Well, at least they make it stuck and you don't.
And it follows the root system to the piece of steel that's closest on the ground. It's looking for a place that it might explode. Or as many say, as lightning goes up. Well, glory be to God. We are safe here tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, see, that looks like another storm rolling in right there.
That cloud bank is just really cool looking. Yeah?
I'll be back, guys. I like these cloud banks that we see, but I bind their destruction. That's circling around. That's exactly what I said. You will circle around. And you will reign here in our state for 3 days.
We are learning this stuff well, aren't we? Taking the day.
So, hallelujah. I hope you're as fired up about doing the work of God as we are. Because we're fired up about it. And, you know, here's the thing about learning all of this in God. Love, I spilled my coffee. Could you be as kind to get me a Clorox wipe or something?
Is it like running all over?
No. It's just sticky.
Oh,
I don't
want to
lay anything in it. Thank you. Interesting. So tonight we're gonna study diligently. And it's going to help us see and know better. Everybody say see and know. It's not just see and know. Now, I don't always clean my table once the program starts and clean my computer and everything, but, you know, one should always be careful how he holds his coffee cup. Mission accomplished.
Well, there you go.
That is an interesting club, man, isn't it?
It is. It really, really
put flights in the airport. Came in real early today.
Did they?
And they come in hot, man. They were smoking it today. Everybody pause just a moment. That's a very interesting cloud bank. I think I've said that already.
Yeah, it really is.
Joaquin, good to have you tonight. Steel roof and picnic tables and trees are not a good thing. When I lived in Las Vegas, the lightning would go from cloud to cloud. Now it goes from the cloud to the ground. And that's my deal, Roger. All right, so it is now 15 minutes after. I want us to get started right away so that we can get right into the Word of God early. And I want us to very specifically deal with some of this stuff tonight so that we can be strong in the Lord every time we come together. And all of you that are a part of the community of faith, every one of your gift in God is of absolute importance to help us accomplish the work of God. You might say, Pastor, I don't know anything. Well, some of you have been with us. We looked up today, this morning, it's been 457 days we've done this. Some of you have been with us that long. That means 457 days of continual saturation of the presence of God, and that is magnified and multiplied, and it's wrapped up inside of you. So you got more inside of you than what you think you actually got, and that's a good thing.
Amen,
that's a good thing. Thank you for the rain. Now, let's rise. We'll make our pledge of allegiance, honor the United States of America, turn on YouTube, and get ourselves going here. Let's make our pledge of allegiance. To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, for a moment of silence, as we remember those who are missing in action, those who have given that last full measure of devotion, those who today bear the scars of battle in their spirit, their soul, and in their body. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now join me in singing God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her
through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
And behold, it rains again. Now, hopefully, I didn't mess too many of you up by leaving on the other side today. You know how we humans are. You walked out of the room wrongly. Let's pray for the United States of America. We're going to get right into the word tonight. We're moving right along. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are again tonight. The land of the free and the home of the brave. In the mighty name of Jesus tonight, we declare, God bless America. From the mouth of every prayer warrior down through history, from the mouths of every prayer that's bottled up in heaven, from the mouth of every fallen patriot and every mighty warrior from our military, we gather our voices together today and we declare, God bless America today. God bless America today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we declare tonight, Lord, forgive us of our sin and heal our land. Lord, there's many people in this nation who know you. Thank you. But now, Lord, we pray for those that don't know you. There's millions that don't even have any idea who you are or anything about you. Right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, because they've been sold the lie and didn't have any other choice but to buy. In the mighty name of Jesus, may the righteousness revival in the community of faith not only be here, but may it hook up to the righteousness revival all across the nation in the tent meetings and revival services and crusades and camp meetings. And we declare a revival of righteousness across this land. May our universities have great revival just break out on the campus. We declare it again tonight. The halls of Congress will have revival. The Supreme Court will have revival. The executive wing of the department of our government will have revival. Our military, we speak revival in the military. Commanders taking everybody in their whole battalion and saying, go to church and find out who God is. May there be revival. We say revival in the police force, in the fire department. Just revival break out all across this nation. The consuming fire of Almighty God be poured out on this nation and revival happen. May all of the dens of wickedness just close. Because nobody goes there anymore, because righteousness has exalted our nation. May every pornography building just be shut down and cave in of the wicked. Nobody's around. May all the wicked, violent, perverse adult film buildings just be filled with the mold of sin and wickedness. And shut it down so America no longer is the purveyor of this kind of entertainment. It ain't entertainment. Wicked destruction of men and women, and it's on purpose. And may the innocent flee the tents of wickedness now. We're like Moses. Get away from the tents of wickedness because God's judgment and wrath is coming upon them. We say this right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we hook into that prayer network that is all around this world, and we declare in the mighty name of Jesus, we add our faith to it, and we draw faith out of it and say, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven in Jesus' mighty name. Father, may every one of us come to the word of God and see the perfect law of liberty. May we see it. Come here tonight and see the revelation of righteousness that totally sets us free. Tonight, I declare, may we see the revelation of the power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives right here, right now, not someday down the road. Right now, we receive it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your holy word that lives on the inside of us. We give you glory. Lord, you said that when we dwell together in you, it's like the holy anointing oil that's poured over the head of Aaron, down his beard, on the ground. It's like the dew on Hermon that saturates us. In the mighty name of Jesus, saturate us with your presence. May the rain of your presence fall on us tonight, right here, right now, in this program. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless our peacekeepers, wherever they are today around the world. Every one of them. Bless the men and women of God who stand with us every night, right here. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless them. We thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty, 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 mighty work in this group of people right here tonight. And the community of faith, march on in faith, in power, in might, in strength, in dominion, in honor and glory, because that's what you have. And you are in the inside of us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, I pray it again tonight. Bless every person who belongs in the community of faith. Help them get here. May tonight be the night that they're here. And may the word of God come forth in a way that changes their life so they say, wow, that's exactly what I need. Lord, help every one of us that we open up our own hearts and minds to you, so we can receive the engrafted word of God that is able to save our souls. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We'll pray the prayer. We'll make our declaration about the isms now. Patriot declaration. And then we're going to get right to it, because I want to talk about last night. I want to talk about today. And I want to talk about forever, just like Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guess what? We get to be just like you. Now, what a night of weather. Mm-hmm. We got to do something, though, because I'm really sweating with these lights. I don't know how else to say it. Thank you, love. Here we go. The declaration against the ism. We bind all the effects of the ism. It is impossible for your wickedness to overcome the United States of America's righteousness, which is our strength. God said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. You have no right or claim or historic authority to our promised land. We know who we are. We will not yield our weapons of protection to you. You may think we have been driven off, but we, the children of God, have returned to Ireland and have joined together in agreement to rebuild every wall that seems to be torn down in the realm of the spirit and in the natural. And we declare every weapon you have formed against freedom comes back on you now. And every pit you have dug, you fall into it yourself immediately. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 144, 14. Our enemies will not invade our land, and there will be no breach in our walls. These are the walls we are building, the walls of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for your great work and nation. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I always want to remind you, make sure you say these prayers with us, because one puts 1,000 to flight, and two puts 10,000 to flight. And we don't know what three puts, because he didn't give us that third step to show us. We just know it's an exponential factor that no enemy can fight against. And so we encourage you to stand boldly with us today. Is it still raining?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your prayers. Here comes the rain. Now, the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us, the living, to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. And we highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain, and that this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. And this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might. Great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Welcome to the community of faith. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We are glad to have you with us tonight.
Yes, we are.
Those of you that normally come here, we usually have 15, 20 minutes of just laughing and having fun. I like that. Tonight, I want to get right to the word, because it's raining right now. So it's impossible to be out there in our gazebo with a steel roof, steel picnic table, in the lightning. So I want us to be here. We'll have our time, teach the word, answer some questions. And I'm going to go out when we're finished and see if we can find Brother Phil. Because whom the sun sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
It's free indeed. And you and I, functioning together as a powerhouse in God, can change this world. I don't do it by myself. You don't do it by yourself. In the kingdom of God, no one is an island unto themselves. Never have been, never will be. Philip went out and preached one time to the Ethiopian eunuch. God yanked him out of that real quick and put him in a church with a bunch of people, because God's system and God's kingdom is built on his body. Three parts all functioning together to make that way. No one becomes the big guy. No one becomes the only thing. And it's never about man. It's always about Jesus Christ and him crucified and his righteousness that we get to live in every single day of our lives in Jesus' mighty name. So if you have questions that you have been thinking about throughout the day, or a statement that you think might bring a question about how things happened last night on the program, I welcome you to type them in. Now remember, please don't put personal information about your family, your wife, your kids, your dog, your cat. Well, maybe the dog and the cat, but not. Don't give us personal information about somebody that you might someday want to be on this program with us. That doesn't work. But ask any question about what happened last night you'd like. Make a comment, because we're going to talk about how things went last night according to the Word of God. Now, today at noon, we were on it. People were talking about it. And we read the story of the Gadarene demoniac. And so that we could watch Jesus cast out a demon. Well, cast out 1,000 demons. Think about this fact. If one body, one man, could contain 1,000 demons, how much more could, and that's negative sin, how much more can that same body hold that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God? How much more? We've watched Dr. Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin. We've watched Charles Stanley, Chuck Swindoll. What was that guy? D. James Kennedy. John Hagee. We've watched all these men, great men of God, filled with his spirit. And seemingly on measure, a name we don't use much because he's not American, but it's Paul Young-hee Cho from Seoul, South Korea. He has over 1 million members in his church. That's not a preacher exaggeration. That is a reality. And many people say that's why South Korea has remained free, because of the effect of that church, and that church is a great church of faith and has been ever since the beginning. But see, none of those people who did all of those great things in God did it because God just said, well, I'm going to use this guy no matter what. No. Every one of them came to a point one day where they said, God, for me. And then God said, go do this. And they said, all right, I'll go do that. And when they did, God blessed them. And then God prospered them. And then God said, go do this. And they're like, all right. And then they went and did that. And then God blessed them for their obedience. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 19 says, if you're willing and obedient, you get to eat the good of the land. Well, say it with me. I'm willing. And I am obedient. Even if I don't know what I'm doing. Wait. Over and over, God has said to many people around the world, when they look back at him and say, I don't know what I'm doing, he says, I know. And you won't know if you get it wrong.
There you go.
Roger Oxy. Oh, when the saints come marching in. What is the meaning of this? Yes, you did. So break it down. Was that about my greeting?
Oh, you know what? I thought you were saying when the saints come marching in, because usually the first person comes on the program, Pastor Roy says you won, and you get to sing the saints come marching in. I thought that's what you were saying. That's all.
All right, I am totally lost in the lag, but I'll let you guys deal with that, all right?
So go ahead and sing, Roger, because you were first. You won.
Sing. Sing, Roger. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Oh, yeah, I know. I'll be in that number. When the saints come marching in. All right. Almost everybody who has talked with us today about last night said that it's very enlightening, very much filled with revelation, and very encouraging them to see the gospel being worked out right in front of their eyes. I'm going to talk about that because God wants to come into every one of our lives and overflow. Say this, God wants to owe in my life. God wants to overflow in my life. So what does that mean? That means God wants to come in. And as soon as he does, there will be an overflow of his presence, his power, his might, his dominion, and whatever the word is you want to use, there will be an overflow in it. Because God never does barely enough. He does more than enough every single time. Now, hold on just a second. I had a scripture come to me, and I'm going to type it in right now. All right, never mind. I'll type it in later. Now, let's go to where we were last night. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 to 11. Somebody shout, I love the word of God.
I love the word of God.
Well, here comes the sun, and that's beautiful. Going to make a beautiful sunset tonight. Once you get to Philippians chapter 2, hold your Bible up, and we're going to make our confession tonight. Say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what it says.
I am what it says I am.
I go do what it tells me to. Tonight I will be taught the word of God. And it is changing my life. Because that's what it's designed to do.
I receive Jesus, the living word.
Into my life.
Right now
tonight. Producing a hundredfold return. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, all of a sudden when you make the statement that way, all of a sudden it gets a lot different thought process to you when we say, wait, I received Jesus, the living word. That makes this book alive. That makes it more than just a black book that sits on my shelf. That makes this, Jesus, alive and well. And literally, it's in your hand. You can handle it. You can know who God is right here from this book who's about him. Now, I heard one man say recently, that it takes normal person about 72 hours to read the whole Bible. I've never found that to be the case in my life. He must belong to a church full of speed readers. I don't know. That would mean if I spent the next 72 days reading the Bible for 1 hour, I would read the whole Bible. I'm not sure that I could do that. However, what's the point of what you're saying, Ben? Reading this book, which is alive and well and sharp, puts life down on the inside of your life. Proverbs chapter 4 says, the word of God is life to find it, and it literally is health to your flesh.
Yes. Amen.
Say it. The word of God produces health in all of my body. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Tonight. Right here, right now, tonight. We desire, we long for, we search after your wonderful, powerful, amazing word in our lives.
Amen.
Lord, manifest yourself here tonight. Manifest yourself here tonight and the most powerful force from your holy word. I declare that on this night, there'll be miracles, signs, wonders. People's lives will be changed forever because they come and they receive this word and it gets inside and it changes everything about them.
Amen.
And causes growth, causes development, causes strength to come in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Interesting verse, isn't it? Let each one esteem others better than himself, meaning lift up the lowly. Verse 4, let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Very interesting, isn't it? Which is what happened two nights ago when Brother Phil walked up. He's like, well, we're having a program here, but might as well welcome in. We were getting to receive communion. We're like, hey, brother, come over here and take communion. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is going to confront those devils that's trying to be on him or in him, whichever way it is. And when he put the blood of Jesus in his hand and the broken body, all of a sudden it began to make that stuff manifest. So you and I can say, come out, foul devil, come out. Don't you love having that kind of power? I do. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Say it with me. I get to have the mind of Christ. When I'm at church pastor or every day, all day long. Every day, all day long, you get to have the mind of Christ. But it doesn't come just because you have a Bible laying on your shelf. It doesn't come just because you come here. And listen, now you'll gain understanding, revelation by being here. But this revelation from this book comes and you open up and you begin to read it for yourself and say, I'm going to write these verses down. I'm going to get this revelation, and God is changing my life because of it, in Jesus' mighty name. Say this with me. I have the mind of Christ.
You have the mind of Christ.
Tonight's title is Exceeding Abundantly Above. When I function in the mind of Christ, that's going to be functioning way above the natural realm that's on this earth. Remember the story of Daniel? Hey, there's Sunday Geiser. Bless you, Sunday. Welcome. Good to have you with us tonight. Remember Daniel and the three Hebrew children? The Bible says Daniel had a different spirit. And when Daniel stood boldly in faith, Daniel and the three Hebrew children were found to be 10 times wiser than all of the magicians, astrologers, and soothsayers in the land. And Daniel was actually put in charge of them. Say it. I have the mind of Christ. Jacob had his wages changed 10 times, I think is what it says, by his father-in-law, Laban. Jacob began to chase after God, saying, you promised to bless, what I got to do. And God said, well, tell him you want to get paid with the speckled, or tell him you want to get paid with the stripe. And whatever Jacob said he wanted to get paid by, that's what all the animals gave birth to. Say this with me. I have the mind of Christ. See, the woman with the issue of blood had done everything she could do to be healed and delivered and set free. And the Bible literally says she had spent all that she had and was none the better. And yet she heard about Jesus and said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. Say it with me. I can have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Why? He lives in you. His righteousness is the most powerful force in your life and mine. Hallelujah. Verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus, although he was God, came to this earth and took on the likeness of man like you and me. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is Jesus functioning on this earth as a man, being obedient to the Father, even to the death of the cross, which is what he had to do. People say, well, he was God, Pastor. Of course he was going to die. No. And in all of his godness, he laid it aside and became a man. Because he had to function like you and me on this earth and beat sin, or he couldn't be the supreme sacrifice for sin. He had to be able to carry all the sin of the world, all the sickness, disease, all of the wickedness on his shoulders, on his body, delivered into hell where it belongs, in order to be able to give you and I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say it with me. Receive the righteousness in Jesus' mighty name. All right, verse 9. Therefore, God highly exalted him. How much exaltment?
High.
See, when you and I begin to look at God, we realize God uses superlatives in everything. Is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect. What is left after you have perfect strength? There isn't anything. Why? Because your strength is made perfect. He said that you're going to have exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Those are all superlatives that show you God wants everything in your life blessed. Hold on, I got my verse again. Now I got it typed in. Let's keep reading. 9. I'm in Philippians 2:9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. See, now, what have we got again? We got another superlative that Jesus has the name that is so far beyond any other name. When you and I use the name of Jesus, demons have to obey. They obeyed last night. They shut up. But that was one of our challenges last night, is to find that one. There was one more demon there that has to come out. And what you and I have to do in those situations is shut down the brain, open the spirit, listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of us so that we can confront that devil and see it come out of them, because God has given us power over all the power of the devil, all of it. Look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, tongue should confess. Now, I got three different verses putting together here. Let's read what's on here. Verse 10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, our Father. Now, I noticed last night that several of you had a question about the fact that I kept telling that demon to shut up. Let me explain it to you. Say this. In the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Now, let's go there. Let's go to Luke 8. Isn't that where we were this morning? Yeah. Luke 8, verses 26 through 39 is the story. And we'll just pick out a couple of verses in the beginning. I want you to see this. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Now, in the situation that was happening last night, I want to help you see and understand something about those situations. And we're going to do it from this story. Now, we read it at lunch. We're going to read it again right now. Ready? This is Luke 8, 26. And we're probably going to go down to 26 to 33. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stopped, And when he stepped out on the land, Luke is descriptive. Don't you love it? There met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. He saw Jesus. He cried out, fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Now, let's just take those verses. No, one more, 29. "For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, kept him under guard, bound with chains and shackles, broke the bands, and had been driven by the demon into the wilderness." Now, I want you to see several things here. Number one, you have Jesus. Number two, you have a man. Both of them are men. The man had 1,000 demons. Legion means 1,000 in many situations. Some Bible scholars say 6,000. That's a lot of demons in one man. If one man's body can contain 1,000 demons of hell, how much more of the Holy Spirit can this body experience and function in if we just submit to the presence of the Holy Spirit? If 1,000 demons to the negative is what one man's body can hold, then how much Holy Spirit can we hold? We are totally submitted to him. We're like Jesus. He healed all who were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. Jesus healed the maimed. What's a maimed person? No ear, no eye, no arm, no leg. You're missing something when you're maimed. Jesus healed the maimed. Let's find that verse. We'll put it in there. Now, let's look at verse 27. "When he stepped on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time." So get the picture. Jesus steps out on the land, and the demoniac met him at the shore. Now, this is a very interesting thing, because the man wants to be free. The demons continually drove him into the wilderness. Whose fault is it that he has demons? We don't know, because the Bible doesn't give us that answer. This is what we know about the enemy. The very fact that a human has a demon declares something ain't right. And the devil is destroying the life of a human, and that's against God's will. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Does that make sense how I said that? When you and I see a demon in somebody's life, the enemy has done a violation of that human spirit to come in the inside. You might say, well, yeah, Pastor, but they got to agree. Yeah, that might be the case. They got to put up with it. But sometimes people see demons when they're children. They don't even know what's going on. Yeah. They're just hanging around with the adults that's with them.
Yeah, they don't even kill
them. And situations of childhood prostitution, those children end up with so many demons that it's just horrendous what happens to them. Why? Because every time you have sex with somebody else, your spirit joins with their spirit. Pretty soon, you got a pretty messed up spirit, and especially when it's a child that's 12 or 13 years old, and that's happening. And I hope that doesn't bother you, but if it does, then it bother you to prayer and to get serious about saying no more of that in this land, because it's everywhere. Brother Dan's out there every night in truck stops, and that's the worst place in the world for it, in them truck stops. It is absolutely sickening what goes on, and to think a mom or a dad would do that with their own child. That's a whole bunch of people that's had perversion handed down. Off of that now, let's get back to our story. Verse 28, "When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down, and worshiped him." Verse 29, look at the first phrase. "For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man." I want you to see the picture. Jesus is coming up to the shore on assignment by the Father, just like we were on assignment sitting in that park. Everybody pay attention to that. We are on assignment. There's a whole lot of places we could sit in the city. Matter of fact, I took you out there on the side of the lake to see the pelicans. But you know what? The next night, I had no interest in going back there. The next night, my thought was, we're going to the park. And once we got there, it's like, wow, we've got to be here for a while. And guess what? We got there on assignment by God, and then here comes God bringing the people in front of us that we can be a blessing to. As the boat came to land, Jesus saw the man. The Father spoke to Jesus and said, there's the man, cast out the demon. Jesus knew all of this was going to happen before he ever got there. By the Spirit of God that was on his body, in his life. And so Jesus had already spoken to the devil to come out. The devil doesn't want to come out. But the human wants the devil to come out. Very few people want the devil to stay in him because the devil's such a brutal taskmaster, the mean, wicked slave driver. So let's go back to verse 27 now, or 28. When he saw Jesus, the man, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Son of God? Well, here's the truth about it, guys. This phrase, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of God, that's not the man speaking. That's the demons.
They know.
Because the man didn't know this is Jesus, Son of the Most High God. The demons knew because they were in heaven with Jesus, the Word, when Satan got kicked out of heaven. Remember when Jesus sent the disciples out? And the disciples said, wow, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, that ain't nothing, boys. I saw him kicked out of heaven. Remember? Mm-hmm. Right. So watch this. The man came and bowed down. Jesus had already told the demons to come out. When the man came and bowed down, the demon began to spoke, and he said, what do we have to do with you? All right. Now, this is why you heard me last night speak to that demon and tell it to be silent. Because the demon kept trying to talk. All right. Which is why I stopped at one point and laid hands on him and bound the effect of that demon and told it to get out. Now, if you drive out demons, don't you have to send them someplace? That's a good question, Roger.
Mary had that question earlier today, too.
All right. That's a good question.
Yeah.
You and I, when we send them out, the demon said, don't send us back into the abyss, which would make you and I think that we have the power to do that. Jesus had the power to do that. All right. And my understanding of casting out demons, that's what you are required to do. Now, on another situation where a demon was cast out, it said go out and wander in dry places. That was Jesus that made that statement. When a demon is cast out, he goes out and wanders in dry places and comes back to see if the house is empty. Right? If you find that reference on that, where Jesus said that, I don't have that in my notes. Now, what are you showing us, Pastor? What I want you to see, I'm going to answer your question in just a second, Roger. What I want you to see is that last night, Philip talked to me. And last night, the demon talked to me, both of them. Philip says, I want to be free and have a good life and help people. That's what Philip said last night. The demon that was in there kept saying, I'll never be free. I'll never be free. I'm addicted. I'll never be free. I'm addicted. I'll never be free. How many times did he make that statement last night? It made that statement over and over. But that statement was not the man. That statement was the demon. The man, Philip, kept telling us, I want to be free. Now, I got another story here. Sister Leanne found Matthew 12:43. Now watch this. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. All right? Remember this about demons. Demons are nothing more than angels that were kicked out of heaven on the day that Satan was kicked out of heaven. Mm-hmm. Right? Why are you saying that, Pastor? Well, some people think that Lucifer, Satan, is an evil god creating more demons. No. Angels were all created on one day. Greater, more wicked demons on the earth. Nowhere. All right?
Same ones that have always been here.
Exactly what Sister Leanne just said. In fact, it's the same demons that have always been here. Alright? Now, Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. When you cast that demon out, you command that demon to come out and enter no other man. We've been given dominion over the power, all the power of the devil. I believe that that verse is Luke 10:29, right? 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's Luke 10:29. Now, why are you saying this? Well, I heard some people last night. Let me say, many times when you're dealing with a demon, people are like, wow, why is she so mean to that person? We're not mean to the person. It's a demon that's inside of them that we got to get out. Sometimes when we cast a demon out, they'll fall down on the ground and writhe around like a snake or roll around. Why? Because that devil's coming out of their body. Now, you might say, Pastor, I don't know about all this. I do. You ain't never had the experience till you lay your hands on somebody and cast the devil out of them. And I'll tell you, as soon as they get free and you see the freedom people have, you ain't never going to let the devil stay in another person's life anywhere around you. Why? Because if you can cast them out, you got to drop the shade, do we?
Yeah, you're glowing. You're fading in the glow.
It was nice. I like the sunshine. We probably are still going to have to change that. Anyways.
Oh, it looks better here.
Now watch this. So what Roger said, when you drive out a demon, do you have to send them to someplace? Yes. I don't have the answer right now tonight. If you and I get to send them to a place and they stay there forever.
Isn't there a verse about casting them into outer darkness?
I don't know.
The The biggest thing is just that you have to re-enter another.
Right. You command that demon to come out, never come back to them.
Or any other.
Now watch. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, if you don't fill the house, the devil is coming back. So that's why you saw me trying to lead that man into communion last night. Because we need him filled with righteousness and filled with the Holy Spirit. So that when the devil comes back, he can't get in. Now watch. Let's go there. That is Matthew 12. Now, we've got our finger in Luke 8, Luke 10, Matthew 12. Don't worry about Philippians chapter 2 anymore. Right. Hey, my mom's here. Everybody say hi to mom. Good evening, mom. I was singing a song to my mom. You might not have understood it. And it might not mean anything to you, but I'm sure my mom said, oh, listen to his heavenly voice.
It's my baby
voice. and mom was always a good singing instructor and was like, why did you let such a noise come out of your mouth? Here we go. Matthew 12. 43 through 45. Watch this. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. He's calling the man or the woman the house. And when he comes to it and he finds it empty, swept, and put in order, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Pastor, I don't think I even want to be a part of this demon casting out thing at all after you just said that. Well, here's the revelation of it. That's why you and I are such diligent students of the Word of God, because we want to see people set free, and we're not afraid to learn, study, and learn. Does that make sense? All right. Now, let's keep right on going and get another verse. Acts chapter 13. Verses 4 through 12. See, the Bible has a lot to say about it. Religion and religious churches don't teach about it. Because if you only have a form of godliness and deny power, you won't be wanting to have demons come in your church to cast them out. When I went to Bible college taught us, if you're going to cast a demon out, first, remove all the spiritually weak people out of the building so the demon doesn't go in them. Then, make sure that they're all in a room somewhere praying fervently for the one person who's casting the devil out. Well, I understand why that's happened. However, you don't see that anywhere in the Bible. That's man that put that together.
Right.
When the demon showed up, Peter, he didn't say, hold it. If you're weak, please leave the room. Peter didn't say, all right, I need all 15 of you believers to go in another room and pray for me. That's not how it happens. That was man creating some kind of a deal, making a big deal out of the devil that don't need to be made a big deal of. Can I get an amen from anybody? Now watch. Let's read this. This is a story of Saul and Barnabas. Verse 4. Acts 13:4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salami, wouldn't you like a salami sandwich right now? They preached word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. So you got Saul, Paul, and Barnabas, and they're on their way on a missionary trip, and John Mark is with them. Verse 6, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Do not be a Jew, false prophet, sorcerer, no matter what your name is. All right? Who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Now watch this. I want you to see what this is all about. Paul, Saul, what are we calling him Saul for? Anyways, they're on a missionary trip. Sergius Paulus is the governmental leader, an intelligent man who wanted to hear the gospel. But Elymas is the sorcerer that had controlled all the commerce in that area. What? Witchcraft, curses, spells, which is what? Twisting the truth. Manipulation is what it is.
Yeah.
But I want you to see what happens when the devil shows up and a man of God speaks up. Now watch. Verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? There's a lot of people in churches today that needs to be said to, because they are in church misleading the sheep with their wickedness and their their witchcraft, which is manipulation and control of people. Verse 11, now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Say this with me. Stop perverting the ways of the Lord. I declare it in America right now. Stop, you wicked preachers. Yeah. Stop perverting the way of the Lord. I don't know if it's my place to say, may blindness come upon you. But this is what I know in God. Your willing blindness that you're leading people into is exactly the harvest you will receive.
Yeah, there you go.
Why? Because Jesus and God the Father always looks at it this way. How you judge and lead someone else is you showing God how you want him to judge and lead. Did that make sense?
Yes.
See, that's, people forget about that. Well, you know, says, judge not that you be not judged, but I'm going to judge that guy just a little. Well, how you judge that guy just a little is exactly how God can judge you a whole lot. God woke me up talking to me this morning about the children of Israel. They judged Moses. But God said to Moses, they ain't judging you. They're mad at me. So I will judge them by the word coming out of their mouth. And gave them exactly what they said.
So
what's
the word you speak?
Elymas is standing in the way of Sergius Paulus coming to God. Paul didn't wait around. He saw them be blind. Let's read it again from the Bible. Verse 11. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you. Not Paul, the hand of the Lord. I want to grab 10. 10's where I want to be. Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. There's a lot of people in America that are enemies of righteousness. They don't teach it. They don't believe in it. And they don't want it. And they lead in major, huge churches. There's whole denominations that don't even believe in the deity of Christ or the virgin birth. They have stricken them from the records. I know of a church denomination that literally voted to take all the songs about the blood of Jesus out of the hymnal. They voted to take no more altar calls because they took up too much time. Wait. And that wasn't 2021. That was 1997 when that happened. Is it a wonder that America is in the condition that it's in today? Pastor, what are you even teaching us? Well, last night, Philip's sitting next to me, and he's not stopping talking. But what's talking to me isn't Philip. It's the demon. That's why I kept having to look at him and say, be silent. Go ahead.
Maybe talk about that, the girl that Paul cast out the demon that was doing the two trying to destroy.
That's the next story we're going to read. Very good. Now let's go down. Well, wait, we got to finish one more phrase in 10. Will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Well, the reason why I say that, Becca, is that church that I'm telling you about had about 250 members that came to church every Sunday morning and had Sunday school, a going church that many influential people went to in that little town church. And you could see the effect of it because the numbers immediately just began to go down. Why? Because God won't bless them. Anyways, verse 12, Acts 13, 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching. Paul said, you'll be blind. Immediately he was blind. Sergius Paulus said, I believe. I don't know about all that, but I can tell you right now, I believe. I'm telling you. No, I believe. What do you believe in? I don't know. In my place, I can't afford to make anybody mad. Acts 16. Acts 16 is a cool chapter. We're going to focus on verses 16 and 19. I'll tell you the story of 16 first. Now watch this. Wait, I want to agree with Becca too. That's not what you call a church. But it's a group of people who were told that they should vote on how much God they should have in their lives. Can you imagine? Yeah, that's a good statement. That's a joke for me just thinking about how a church or its people can denounce the blood of Jesus. But you know what? Way home from Bible college at Christmas. We're driving in Cuda. Back in the days when they were really good Cudas. With a 396 in it, or maybe a 360. I don't know. Dan will tell you. And the transmission went out in Cincinnati. And we have friends there, relatives there. So we stopped at a school called God's Bible School. We took the transmission out, and we got that done. And we were just in these people's house for supper. And a guy showed up and said, "Hey, I'm going down the tracks down at the bars. You guys want to go with me?" And we're like, "Well, yeah." One of the last bars we went into, I walked in the door, walked clear back to the back where the pool table was, had a track in my hand, and said to the guy that was sitting there, "Hey, let me give you a track about Jesus." And the man said, "Oh, I know all about that." I'm like, "Really?" He said, "Yes, I have a Bachelor of Religion degree." He's in the back of the bar next to the pool table and has a woman sitting on each knee. And he has his hand on them. I said, "Well, that's interesting. What are you doing here?" He said, "I pastored a church for a number of years." I forget what it was, 13 or something. And I'm like, "Really? How did you get here?" He goes, "I hate church people and I hate church and I'll never be a part of it again." Because of what they did to him, because someone said to them, "You get to vote how much God you want in your life." I got a word for you. You can vote about anything you want to vote about because all you got to do is say, "All in favor, aye." You just voted. But you know what? You can't vote on this book. Have you ever noticed you don't get to vote on the Bible? His word is truth. And he said, you either are walking with him or you're in rebellion. He looked at the rich young ruler and said, "Take what you have, sell it, give it to the poor, and come follow me." The rich young ruler only had one choice, do it or don't. See, secular humanism has taught us that we get to create a God that matches our thoughts and our feelings, and that's not God. The children of Israel, they either got to go into Canaan when he said to, or they got to die in the wilderness. That's all it is. Isaiah chapter 1. If you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. So my book is this. Well, I'm just going to be willing and obedient. You don't ever have to worry about the rest of that verse when you just decide, I am going to always be willing and obedient and follow what God's going to say. How can you not get enough of God's word? How can you not get enough of God's word? All right. I'm sure that's something I just said, brother. Put a few more words in there. Say it again so I can answer that. How can you not get enough of God's word? I don't know. There's a bunch of people who they go to church, but they never crack the book. And therefore, they always go astray. Now watch. I want to read this story. Timothy joins Paul and Silas. Verses 1 through 5. Verses 6 through 10, Paul and the group walk for 500 miles trying to preach in Asia. And God says, no, 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 and no. But when they got to Troas, they had a vision of Macedonia. So when they went there, then they started preaching. Verse 16, look at this. Paul is now in Philippi preaching daily. And it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her matters much profit by fortune telling. Now, let's deal with fortune telling. And soothsayers, and card readers, and tea leaf readers, and any of that psychic stuff. It's all wicked. It's all of the devil. It will all pervert your soul. Don't have anything to do with it. It's called a horoscope for a reason, because it's filled with horror. People say to me all the time, yeah, but Pastor, I went one time and they said, look at here, you did this, this, and this before you're going to do that. Well, what have they done? That person is someone right here, just like this girl, who was good in divination. She had given herself to a demon, and the demon watches people's life. It's called a familiar spirit. We talked about it at the beginning of last week. That familiar spirit isn't designed to take you out of the church. It's designed to see what makes you tick about walk away from God, never leaving religion. That demon wants you to feel like God, that feels like God. Well, that looks like God. Well, that sounds like God. But guess what? It ain't God. So how does a fortune teller say things that happened in people's life? Well, the demon spirit watches you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. All the angels were created to take care of God's people. All of them. When the devil and a third of them was kicked out of heaven, it doesn't change the fact that they were designed to take care of God's people. They just now are following the father of lies, so their place is to pervert God's people. They're still going to follow you just like your guardian angel is following you. That's why don't mess around with sin. So a demonic spirit knows exactly what's going on in your life and would tell a fortune teller what you've done. And when it does, you'll be like, how did you know that? Well, there's a demonic spirit behind it. But that demon cannot tell the future. There's only one spirit that tells the future. And what is his name? Holy Spirit. And no fortune teller, psychic, tarot card, any other one of those things, has any ability to tell your future. They are of the spirit of the devil. One person said, but Pastor, what witchcraft is good because they find lost children? Why can witchcraft find lost children? Because the devil knows exactly where he told the person that kidnapped him to take the kid. I hope this ain't too much information for you, but it is the reality where it's really at. The Holy Spirit knows where all kids are that have been kidnapped. Will we shut our brain down and listen to our spirit so the spirit of truth can tell us rather than the spirit of man, witchcraft, the devil? Well, evidently Siri got you on your question, Roger, because it says, how can you not get enough of God's word? But I think what you meant is, how can you get enough of God's word? Because your answer is by reading the good news, the Bible every day, and a good Bible church. Yes, that's exactly the case. Yes. It just didn't come through, right? But that's just technology. Don't worry about it. I understand what you mean. And Siri, we charge you guilty. Pay us back 7 times and double for the shame. Now, we're going to read in just a minute a story in the Bible about somebody that went to a fortune teller. We'll do that right now in the Bible in a minute.
Well, all righty.
We are now in Acts 16:16. The slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." It doesn't sound like there's anything wrong with what she just said, is there?
Nope.
No. How many times did our brother that night said, "You just follow Jesus. You just follow Jesus. You just follow Jesus." You know what's interesting about it? Meth addicts and alcoholics say the exact same words with the exact same tone and the exact same inflection. I've heard it over and over. And by different ones, don't know anybody. And you think, how can that guy sound like that guy sound like that guy sound like that guy? And they're all in 4 different states. But they all have the same connecting piece of evidence, and that is a drug addict, an alcoholic bound by the spirit of witchcraft, which is if anybody that you know is part of meth, the worst thing about meth is it is drugs bound by witchcraft. It is drugs with a spell on it. Get them free, but you're going to have to bind the devil to do so. Am I giving too much information, love?
Probably.
All right.
But not too much, no.
Now, what are you saying, Pastor? That's why I kept speaking to that demon last night when I was trying to lead the Bible study, and I finally said, well, the bottom line is I got to just stop and deal with him. And the inside of our brother is the desire to be free.
Yeah.
What do we have to do now? Drive the devils off. I prayed, I could feel demons later. That's why I told him at that point, take your sunglasses off, like your eyes. Why? Eyes are the windows of the soul. If you got a demon inside there, their eyes look different than a normal human eyes. My goodness, Pastor, how would we ever know all of this? It'll only take you about one time and you'll see it. I don't want you to be afraid of this. Any of you who have Jesus on the inside of you got more power than any demon that's ever going to show up. You just got to stand in it and work in it and say, no, I, Jesus, you come out, you foul devil. Don't stop until they're out. Now, I read the Bible right along with my verses in devotion. And with my prayer list, I still can't get enough. I'm thinking about reading a minimum of 2 times a day every day.
There you go, Roger.
Roger, Roger, Roger. That's Roger Roxy, and that's Roger Roxy. Let's keep reading. Verse 18, She did this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. See, Paul knew that was a demon. Why? He'd already faced those same words. I've had several situations. Maybe 10. Let's say 10. I've had 10 situations. Imagine, that's probably what it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Throughout my ministry where I've had the exact same thing happen. I'm the devil and tell it to come out. And people who don't want to come out, leave. You know why? Because they want the Spirit. It gives them power. And it gives them control. And it gives them the ability to manipulate people. Pastor, why do you sing like that? Well, I sing because I'm happy. Verse 19. And when her master saw their hope of was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them in the marketplace to the authorities, and then they beat him. And that's when Paul and Silas got the whole jail and everybody else saved. Now, let's go look at this. Let's go to 1 Samuel. I'm not sure of the chapter, but it's like 22, I think. Amen. Amen, Roger. Pray for him right on the spot, brother, and then pray for him every day. First Samuel 28. First Samuel 28. There we go. And we're going to read verse 1. We may end up reading the whole chapter. This is a good story. Well, it isn't good, but this is a story that represents, shows you exactly what it is we've been teaching. Happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel, and Achish said to David, you surely know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men. David said to Achish, surely you know what your servant can do? And Achish said to David, therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever. David had to flee so much from Saul, he went and lived in the Philistia because Saul would have to fight the Philistines to find David. That's how bad David's life was. Verse number three. Samuel had died. And all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah. And Saul had put the mediums and the spirits out of the land. That means all witchcraft. Verse 4, the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all of Israel together and encamped at Gilboa. Can you tell us what's getting ready to happen? We're getting ready to have a war. When Saul saw an army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Why? Saul had betrayed God. Saul had gone against what God told him to do, disobeyed, and then attacked the prophet when the prophet came and said, you're wrong. And when he ripped Samuel's clothes, Samuel said, your kingdom is ripped from you right now. Had you come down the way you went up, you'd still be in the kingdom. Keep reading. Verse 7. Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And her servants said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance. Is that God? No. For me, and bring me for me one, I shall name you. The woman said to him, look, you know what Saul says done. He cut off the mediums. Why then do you lay a snare for my life that caused me to die? Saul swore to her by the Lord. Listen, Saul swore by the Lord, and he's going to a demon. Somebody say it. The man is confused. Well, he is reprobate. He has lost the Spirit of God. As the Lord lives, no punishment will come upon you for this. The woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. The woman saw Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. Let me tell you something. A witch could not bring Samuel back from the dead. So that is not Samuel. That is a demon spirit making himself look like Samuel. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. And he said, what is his form? He said, an old man is coming covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived it was Samuel, and he stooped his feet to the ground and bowed down. Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me bringing me up? And Saul answered, I'm deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, why did you ask me, seeking the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? The Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has turned the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor his execute his first wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. The Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with him. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the word of Samuel, and there was no strength in him. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice and put my life in my hands and heeded the words you spoke to me. Therefore, please heed also the voice of your maidservant and let me set a piece of bread before you, that you may have strength when you go on your way. He refused and said, I will not eat. Servants together with the woman urged him, and he heeded their voice. The woman had fattened the calf in the house, hastened to kill it, took flour, kneaded it, and fed him, and off they went. Now, you're going to say, Pastor, that sounds like Samuel was prophesying. Well, yeah, it does. God had already said through Samuel every bit of that to Saul. We could go back and find the pages where that was. All right? Not make a man of God come up out of the grave. Ready? Say this with me. The Word of God has to harmonize.
The Word of God has.
From Genesis to Revelation.
From Genesis to Revelation, amen.
God does not allow anyone to violate his ways.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go to anyone who talks to the dead. Do not do it. An evil spirit will bind your life. This is a very interesting night. I got started early so I could be done early so we could go see if we could find Philip. But here's the revelation, guys. You don't have to be afraid of the devil unless you mess with him. You do what the devil does, and it'll destroy you. That man in that bar was a pastor of a church, and he's sitting in a bar. I know story after story of men and women of God who started out right, stood boldly in the pulpit and preached the word of God, went out and cast out demons, healed the sick, raised the dead, as Jesus said. Here's the thing. If you mess around with the devil or the spirit of religion, it's going to hurt you. That's why yesterday when he kept talking, I kept telling the demon, shut up and come out. Now, what do you have to learn in this, Pastor? Well, you and I have to learn and grow in our understanding of how to bind that spirit, command it to come out, and all of the demon spirits that's connected to it. And in my workings with meth, there's another spirit in there somewhere that's got to come out. That drug is so bound in witchcraft that the worst part of it is a demonic spirit comes along with the drug. So if you're dealing with a meth addict, you got to deal with it in the realm of the spirit and bind the devil, because that's the part that has to be gone. They can do all they want to do in their physical strength. I made a decision. I made a pact. I made a commitment. I made a covenant. I drew a line in the sand, and they can do all that stuff. But what I'm telling you is there's a demonic spirit that comes with it. And the only way you'll get them free is to bind that spirit and for them to let you school them in ways of God. No demon has power over you or I. None. You and I have more power in our lives than any demon spirit anywhere. And here's the revelation. God is wanting to use every single one of us to help everybody around us get free. It'll amaze you who's close to you that's bound, that Jesus wants to set free. Now what I'm showing you tonight by our situation last night is that there's the voice of the man. There's the voice of the demon. There's the voice of the Holy Spirit of God on inside of you, the voice of the Word. All of the above are part of every situation. And what you and I got to know is we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We've got to be filled with the Word of God. And then know God's going to bring you people to help you, that you will help get them free. You might say, Pastor, I don't want to get anybody free until I know as much as you. Well, any of you that's been around a while with us right here, you know enough to get somebody set free. This is what you have to know. Shut up and come out. Stay with me. Shut up and come out. Don't let it talk to you. I would never tell a human to shut up. I don't like those words. I think those words are sin. But when it comes to the demon, you force it to be silent. And you command it to come out. Listen, don't go out looking for demons to cast out. We have no assignment by God to just run around and cast out demons. We have assignment by God to be where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Anyone who shows up there, we get them free. Because you know what happens if you begin to seek out demons? Pretty soon they seek you out. And they begin to school you. You don't want to mess around. Jesus has set you free. Not to be a demon chaser. but to be a liberator of humans who are bound.
Yeah.
Sure, we cast out demons. We heal the sick. If you have to, raise the dead. But it's not so that we do the act. It's so that people get free and their lives are transformed and God comes across their path and changes their life. Say this, I'm glad I'm a part of a body.
I'm glad I'm a part of the body.
And God, Jesus is the head.
And Jesus is the head, amen.
Amen. See, the Bible is filled with information on how to live this life. The answer for this, for you and I, is that we live every day in step with where the Holy Spirit's at in our life and learn how to take this book, apply it here, so that when we go out the door, we can get people truly saved in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we did a lot tonight. Jesus cast out a demon. A man that Jesus cast 1,000 demons out of one man, right? Elymas the sorcerer went blind. The slave girl got free. Sergius Paulus got saved. Paul and Silas got the whole church or the whole prison born again, baptized, and saved. And we saw the effect of a man who once was anointed, who chased after the wrong thing, lose his anointing, and ended up his life chasing witchcraft. Saul was highly anointed by God in the Old Testament, King Saul, and lost his anointing because of the lack of obedience. And then the next day or 2 days later, Saul died. Now, let's see. How do we end this on a beautiful story? Let me do this. Watch this. Let me find out how you spell this word. Question, another question, ask it. Well, I thought I could find the verse real quick, but I'm going to have to... saw a person's face actually turn into the devil when I thanked him for being my son's friend. Wow.
Wow. We want to hear, Mary.
See, there's some very serious witchcraft that happens around the world. Brother Terry said, I've seen tables float and people float and do all kinds of things happen, Brother Terry, mine. Dr. Lester Summerall said, I'll take you on some mission trips where there's some real devils, not just post-nasal drip. Wow, that's interesting, Mary. Did you warn your son to get away from that man and never allow him back in your life again? See, guys, there's people that have totally given themselves over to the devil that want him in their life. Do not do that. Do not do that. It is not a joke to sell your soul to the devil. People have been delivered from it. But I had a man come to me once and say, I said to God, I'm going to sell my soul to the devil. And he was doing everything in his power to get back to God. And I'm going to tell you something. He had a very, 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 very severe time getting back to us. Why? Because when you sell your soul to our Father's arch enemy just for things, then God says, then if that's the perdition you want, go be with your father, the devil. Had that or done that or involved in witchcraft, then you pray the blood of Jesus over you and over them, and you don't stop. You get relentless with it, and you keep going, and keep going, and you keep going, and you keep praying and praying. You speak the infallible proofs of Almighty God, chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus will present himself to them alive. Never stop standing in the gap or making up the hedge.
Yeah, amen, man.
Amen, that's good. Amen. Amen. See, God is on our side, wants to win the victory. Interesting. I'm trying to shut this down, but I got to take us to one more verse. All right. I'm not going to take us to one more verse. I'm going to take us to one more set of verses. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 32. I want to just read this to you. Now, usually here at the community of faith, we're all in faith. We're all charging and doing the things of God. But we got to get this sort of revelation to us because we cannot let the enemy chase us off what we're doing. Yeah, I've met a lot of people that says they're a pagan, man. The problem that people like that face is God lets people be what they want to be. And when out of their own mouth, they make those statements. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Read this with me, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. That's the truth right there, Mary. Don't take your eyes off it when it happens. And a matter of fact, you can look right at that demon, say, I bind you in the name of Jesus, and you'll get away from my son and never come back.
Amen.
Look at right now. Do not be afraid of it. If God gives you instruction, you cast that thing out right on the spot. Verse 17. For in it, the gospel of Christ, I want you to see this. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Wow. Well, you know you're not the devil, Mary. And don't be afraid to use the name of Jesus. Get real bold. You got more power inside of you than that demon ever thought about having. Verse 18. I want you to see these verses. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. At the time you are teaching me. Yes, we are. And guess what, Mary? You're learning well. Look at verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Look at this verse. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Anyone who will tell you that you can continually sin and be the temple of the Holy Spirit, they are suppressing the truth consciousness. Do not listen to them. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of this world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There are some major ministries that are about to go down because they have suppressed the truth of righteousness in unrighteousness. Now watch. 21. Because although they knew God, these are people who once knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Wow. Professing to be wise, they become fools. 23. Well, I want to stay on 22. I have seen people who were delivered from alcohol, drugs, and all kinds of things, that ended up in a group of people that looked at them and said, you don't have to worry about it, brother, sister. It's okay if you do that a little bit. After God delivered them, they are suppressing the truth with unrighteousness. And God is judging them. Look at verse 19. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. 23. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves. That's why you guys hear me say, regularly, may God Almighty show these people and these preachers for their true colors. Well, Pastor, aren't you concerned about the people that's following? Yeah, that may they be exposed immediately. I'm concerned about them. May people who are perverting the truth of righteousness, may they fall immediately by what they're trying to do. Because then maybe they get to go to heaven when they crash, and it'll cause the change. No one here yet have we heard that they have committed the unpardonable sin. Yeah. 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. I don't care what the homosexuals tell you. It's against nature. I'm reading to you the holy word of God. Likewise also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Pastor, will God forgive them? Oh, yeah, he's forgiven a lot of them. There were people who were bound and they were not convinced. But there's a bunch of these that never get back. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased, perverse mind to do those things which are unfitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife. You don't want to be, you don't want to fellowship with the spirit of strife. Why? Because James says where strife is, also comes every other evil work. And look at what strife is right in the middle of here. Evil-minded. Look at this. Whisperers. Backbiters. Haters of God. Violent. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Mocking them. Say the other day, I don't care about nothing about my parents. I'm like, oh my. And he's a believer.
Oh my.
Well, he says he's a believer. Yeah. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving. Look at this next one. Unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice those things. He's writing to the church here, not to the world. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, O man, you are inexcusable. Whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. When you judge someone, except to make a judgment that says, I ain't going to be like them people. That's a judgment that says, I see that, and I make this judgment, and I go the other way. You judge and you run your mouth to other people, you are a whisperer, a backbiter, all right? You're a talebearer and you're a gossip. All of those are the work of the flesh and they don't belong in the Christian world. If somebody's doing whispering behind other people's back, tell them to shut up. I like what Brother Osteen said. Somebody walked up and said, Brother, did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? And Dr. Barclay saw it. Said, I watched Brother Osteen put his fingers in his ears like that and say, no, 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 no. My ears are not garbage cans. Go away.
Because really the person that will listen to it encourages it, and then that makes them feel guilty.
This is
the one thing.
Watch this. If I were to walk up to you and I'm standing there talking to you and all of a sudden you can see me going and you look at me like, he's getting ready to puke. You're not going to hug me so I puke down your back. Especially if begin to hear it come up. What are you going to do? Get out of the way. And yet there's many Christians who will let another person who is a so-called believer puke all over them and say, I was just doing it because they need somebody to listen to them. No, what that just happened is that demon spirit just puked all over you. As Brother Summerall said, puke comes from a sour belly. What a night we've had tonight.
Boy, I guess. Talk about covering some territory. That's a severe territory. Serious subject.
We've got to get down clear to verse 11 because I got to get us back into the good side. And it's going to take 11 more verses. You ready? Verse 2. But we know the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man, you judge those practicing such things? And you do the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Well, Mary, I don't mess around with it.
Uh-oh.
The screens all went black. I don't mess around with people. Anytime somebody says to you, for prayer purposes only, tell them to shut up, because that's not God.
Yeah.
Anytime someone says, hi, did you have brother so-and-so did? And now the person says, I don't know, but tell me the whole story. Get away.
Yeah.
You're filled with all wickedness. Ready? 4. Do you do forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? But accordance with your hardness, your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Shout it. That's me. Verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they receive indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Ready? Romans chapter 5. I'm getting us back to some good verses. Are you ready? Romans 5, verse 15 through 18. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, how much more the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. The gift is not like that which come through one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Good job, Leanne and Rebecca. We're over in the kids now. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, the free gift comes to all men, resulting in righteousness. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. What a night.
Yeah.
What a night. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, thank you that your word shows us the plan to run. Christ leads us in the paths of righteousness for your name. Shows us how to live in righteousness. And we receive. Thank you that your word also shows us how to overcome all evil and to force it into subjection to you. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. Lord, help us. No, let's say, I'm going to say it different. We have chosen and declare we are walking in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we have chosen the free gift of righteousness, obliterates every sin and causes you to throw all of our sins in the sea of your forgiveness. And now we thank you for this beautiful righteousness and the glory of God that is ours to live in. Thank you, Lord. You didn't just give us a little dabble, do you? You gave us all of righteousness. And then you made us into the righteousness of God that came from you. Thank you. Just lift your hands and just say it. I receive you, Jesus.
I receive you, Jesus.
I receive. Thank you for the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We walk in great peace in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say this. Lord, help me.
Lord, help me
to guard my tongue,
to guard my tongue
and to guard my ears,
to guard my ears
and be quick to silence this stuff,
to be quick to silence this stuff
so that my soul is not offended and I walk with you every day.
Every day.
In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember the little song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see?
Yeah.
Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say? For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little folks, what you do. Here we go.
Kwame.
Kwame's with us. Kwame, welcome. I can't see you wherever you are, but I love you, brother. It's good to see you here with us. I think Kwame is from Nigeria.
Yeah.
Brother Kwame is from Nigeria, Africa. Bless you, my brother. We got to get together and have a coffee. Or a taco, or something. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. That's good, Mary. I've chosen to follow you, Lord. Thank you for walking with me and guiding me. See, here's the thing that you and I always got to do, and that is, even if you get in a situation where there's somebody that's yakking and flapping, when you walk away, say, Jesus, I'm never going to do that again. And you get serious with it. Get serious with it. Because it's not worth your eternal soul. Ghana. I apologize, brother. I apologize. Because I don't ever want to make somebody from where they're not. Thank you, Brother Kwame. Everybody say hi to Kwame tonight. This is a preaching machine right here. This man not only knows Jesus, this man knows Jesus and he looks like Jesus. You don't have to be around him but a couple minutes and the love of God just spills outside of him. I met Kwame. We met Kwame when we were going to the gym exercising every day. Because regardless of how it is today, in the middle of winter, you don't run down the road as much here. Bless you, brother. It's so good to see you. Here we go. Verse 23. The communion verses. Roman, Mary, Beth. Oh, my goodness.
Got it.
Now, let's receive communion together. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You'll notice last night that during communion, that spirit kept trying to manifest, which is why I stuck right with the communion. Why? Because we're talking about the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, and that's why I kept speaking to that spirit. You come out. Keep going. Verse 28. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that you might have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. That means, as you saw Jesus walking through his day in this book, that's how you're supposed to walk. Bold, confident, peaceful, loving, gentle, and kind. Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for being the body of Christ that you are.
Mm-hmm.
We were so strong last night with all of you guys with us.
Yes.
And you stayed with us to the end. Thank you. Now, let's pray our prayer of salvation, the prayer of rededication, or the prayer of just, "Hallelujah, Jesus is my Lord." You make it what it needs to be for you. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life.
I know I need you in my life.
In every area.
In every area.
And according to God's holy word.
And according to God's holy word.
I receive you, Jesus.
I receive you, Jesus.
Because I believe in you.
Because I believe in you.
And according to John chapter 1.
You give me the power
to become a child of God.
To become a child of God.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Make a big old mud ball of all your sin and throw it out the window. It's all right if you've done it 100 times. It's already gone. Right? Now reach your hands out like this. And say, "I receive all of your righteousness, Jesus."
I receive all of your righteousness, Jesus.
Filling my life right now.
Filling my life right now.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God. glory be to God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. This is who we are. This is what we look like. Aren't we handsome critters? Welcome. In that prayer, you went from darkness to light because God doesn't save you. He takes you from and he takes you to. In that prayer, you went from fear to peace. I love this part. In that prayer, you're like every other human on the face of the earth. It is impossible for you to beat unrighteousness in your own strength. In that prayer, you went from your unrighteousness to Jesus' righteousness. And his righteousness obliterates all the power of sin. God just said about you, adopt them into the family. You are adopted. Say it. I is.
I am.
And I always will be. Now, for those of you who've been around the kingdom a while, as you take these communion elements like this, you make an environment for new people that have never done it before to just receive and receive it willingly. And it just, their life just transforms. I've received emails and texts and messenger messages from people saying, this is the first time I've received communion. It changed my whole life. In Jesus' mighty name, we welcome you. They put my email address and website in there. So you got the email address, so you can ask any question. Seriously. I've got 10 verses and a couple messages I want to give you to study. The 10 verses are the foundation verses of your Christian life. Read them. Study them. Quote them. Speak them. Say them out loud. I've got an audio. I'll read them out loud to you. All right? Maybe you're not a good reader. I'll read them out loud. Just listen to the audio over and over and over and over and over again. And I'm glad to send it to you so that you can be a powerful Christian. Anything we can do, if you walk God, we will. The communion service is on the website, so at any moment's notice, if you feel like, man, I just want to receive communion, is there and you can read it right out loud to you and your family, and I recommend you do that. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Are we ready? Here we go. Let's bless our elements. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name.
I bless these elements
for this time of communion with you. Pray this from the depths of your heart. Jesus, you were wounded. For my transgression. And I thank you. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is upon you, Lord. And by your stripes I'm healed. And I thank you for it. I'm healed in my spirit, my soul, and my body. In my mind, my will, and my emotion. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Every joint supplying in my body. From your body, Jesus. in the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid all of us. We receive it. Let's lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Is totally removed from my life.
Totally removed from my
I
life.
Am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
All things have passed away.
All things have passed
and
away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for
and
it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
every
Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over.
Has to
cannot be on me or my family.
Cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of
I come boldly.
I come boldly
to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room of grace,
where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help
for my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood.
By the blood of Jesus,
the accuser of the brethren,
the accuser of the brethren,
is cast down in my life.
Is cast down in my life.
And there is no more condemnation.
And there is no more condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
This church,
the glorious church,
without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's receive the blood together. And let's worship the Lord. Ready? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looked down in love. And the da 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 da. What you hear? I can tell. It's been a while since I've been to youth camp.
Someday I'll be watching this again.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, God. Let's sing a song about the blood. You want to? Thinking about my dad tonight, so let's sing a song to his song. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Thank you. How's Rebecca say? Glory be to the Lamb of God and a Holy Ghost kick.
Yeah.
All right. I did that, Rebecca's just sitting in the chair. That way I don't fall over. Oh, my goodness. Have we ever gone through a lot tonight? Thanks for being with us. Thank you. Ready? Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the truth you showed us tonight.
Amen.
I'm going to go back and listen to this one again myself because it's got so much in it. All at one time. Love you too, Becca.
And Sunday.
And Sunday. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sunday, God bless you, ma'am. And Chris, Geyser, Rich, we bless you. Felicia Eicher, we bless you. Angel and Alan, we bless you. Rob and Elisa, we bless you. I'm going, aren't I? Jim and Carol, we bless you. Ken and Carol, we bless you. Tisha, wait. Get these guys right. Trey and Tisha. Did I say that right? All right. Rebecca and Christine, Brother Dan and Sister Gwen, Roger, and who's Mrs. Roger? All right. Roger, we love you too, brother. Mom Cottle, I love you, Mom. God bless you, Kwame. We bless you, Kwame. Mary, Pastor Rick, and Don, we bless you tonight. Anybody else show up I didn't see, love? We're a powerful... Yep, we're a powerful force, guys, and I love our body. I love the body of Christ known as the community of faith. I love this body. I am encouraged and fired up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ Nazareth. Why? Because God is doing a big thing amongst us. And you and I just got to be faithful. Keep doing that work. Rebecca Smith, thank you so much for all your help, man. Thank you for being our friend. We truly love and appreciate you guys. Mom, thank you for being with me. It's always good to see you. Always good to receive your smiling face. And Nehemiah chapter 9. I didn't read it tonight, but I'm going to get there. I was really determined to be done by about 9 o'clock tonight. So we could go see if we could find Brother Philip. We're probably still going to go see because it's still daylight here in North Dakota. But it's all right. God took us on a really good path tonight. And I'm going to listen to it again myself because there was so much in it.
So much.
There's so much in it. Yeah, you might say, Pastor, do you really listen to yourself? Yeah, you want to know one of the strangest things in the world is when you start amening yourself. Like, whoa, Jesus, hear what that guy just said right there. What was it Andrew Womack said? He said, I was listening to myself preach the other day, and God gave me a revelation.
Through me.
Bless you guys. God bless you guys. Thanks for staying up for the 11 o'clock news. Until we see you again tomorrow, this is what we say.
We love you.
We love you. And God loves you. And if you stay here, I'll keep talking to you. And Jesus is Lord. See you guys tomorrow. Love you. Bless you, Brother Dan.